This morning I want to read to you a passage of Scripture from 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 through chapter 5, verse 5. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this command we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for your power and your presence, for the way it can transform and change our lives. May your presence abide in our hearts and in this place here today. May all that is spoken be yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is the second Sunday in the series that I started last week on what it means to be a Christian. Today is part two of that. And as you know, I'll be gone next Sunday, but I'll pick back up the third and final part of that on the Sunday when I get back from vacation. Last week, we talked about what it takes, what it is that makes us a Christian. What is it that makes us a Christian? Is it just being born in the United States, in a Christian nation? Is it being born to Christian parents? Is it being a member of a Christian church? Well, no, we talked about some things that identify us and make us Christians. There is a choice. First of all, we have to choose to be a Christian. We have to choose to follow Christ. Second of all, we have to make a change. If we're Christians, if we have truly fallen God, we're going to be different than we were last year or last month or 10 years ago. We will not be the same being a Christian. And third, that there is a challenge to being a Christian, that we are called upon to accept, to live in, and to overcome these challenges that we all face. And as Christians, we are not immune to challenges. It doesn't mean that we won't have challenges. We can be assured of challenges, and we need to accept that and be ready to face them. In 2 weeks, the title of the sermon will be "The Truth About Christians." But this week, I want to look at some of the traits and characteristics that should be evident in our lives as Christians. Now, part of the thing that I said last week, one of the things was that there will be change. These changes, these are some of the things we'll see in a person, in our lives, in those around us who are truly Christians. Now, just as if you're in a profession, Dan, you did metal work, machine shop work all those years. There's some things that are characteristic about that job, some things in that profession that you had to possess. You had to possess some knowledge of math, some skills like that, some hand-eye coordination, or you'd end up with some scratching your ear with your knuckles, you know, so to speak. There are lots of things. There are traits that have to have. I see Lynn back there this morning, Lynn Crook, that is. He's got to have to be a good salesman. He's got to, some would say he's got to be a good liar to do that, and I wouldn't go that far. But you've got to have people skills. You've got to be able to present something. You've got to be able to talk to people and deal with the public. There are traits and characteristics that each one has to possess. Vance is a bookkeeper, is an accountant. He has to have, there are certain skills he has to have, traits. One of the things, if he's my bookkeeper, my accountant, I want him to be honest. Or at least loyal to me anyway, or be able to take an oath that he's honest when the IRS comes. There are certain things. All of us. Renee is a nurse. There are characteristics and qualities and traits that need to be part of who she is as a nurse. They're all things that we need for the jobs that we hold. There are a few things that are distinctive of that label that we wear called Christians. There are traits, there are characteristics that are unique to us. Not maybe each one individually, but as a unit, as a body, these are things that are going to be characteristic and are going to identify us as Christian people. I want to hit on a few of those this morning. Certainly this list is not a complete list. It's not exhaustive. We could add many, many more, but these are some of the ones I want to highlight this morning. I've got a lot of scripture that I'm going to share with you this morning. So I've got it, rather than flip to about 10 different passages of scripture, I've got those scriptures printed out so it'll be easier to get to. So bear with me on that. And it'll also be on the screen if I've done my homework correctly, and John will be able to show those to you. The first characteristic that we want to look at this morning is that we are saints to please God. How many of you consider yourself a saint? I am. Ask Renee. I'm just a saint. Ask Daniel. She works with me. She's out here at the office. Ain't I a saint? I don't see much conviction in that head nod that I saw there. No, we're not talking about saints like the Catholic Church has the saint this or saint that, or you know, all of those saints. Not some lofty title handed to someone or bestowed upon someone because of some great work or great character that they have. We are saints. The Greek word that's used there is the word hagios. It's the word which means holy. In the Old Testament context of that word, of course, the Hebrew word that it was translated into the Greek word hagios is that has that sense of being called out, consecrated, set apart for a specific purpose. We are, as Christians, hagios. We are called out, set apart, sanctified for a purpose. And the primary purpose that we're called out, called upon, is to please God. To please God. Look at the scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now he's not talking about people that are perfect. He's talking about people that are very, very far from being perfect, but people who have been called by God, set apart for a specific purpose. If you go into 1 John chapter 3, and I don't have this scripture, John, chapter 3, verse 22, John is saying that we get whatever we ask, we receive whatever we ask, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We are called upon, we are set apart to offer ourselves in praise and worship so that we can please God. Worship. Pleasing God. That's a trait of a Christian. A Christian will want to please God. That's probably the first thing that changes about a person. Is that now I am a Christian. I have given myself to Christ. I have acknowledged Him as my Lord and Savior of my life. I now want to please Him. I want to do the things that He wants me to do. Now, how many of you wanted to do what your daddy wanted you to do? I know I wanted to please my father when I was a kid. I did a lot of things that didn't please him, that made him angry. But deep down in my heart, I wanted to make my daddy proud of me, to make him happy. I wanted to do those things. I failed an awful lot, but deep down in my heart, that's what I wanted. That's what a Christian feels towards God now. Once they have accepted Him, once we have become sons, once we have become daughters, once we have become children of the King, we want to please the King. We want to do what He expects of us. One of the primary traits, one of the first traits that you will see from a Christian is that they do things and they orient their lives in such a way that they please God. The second thing is that we are servants in order to obey God. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Then in Luke 19:11-13, Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Folks, we can't call ourselves truly Christians unless it is our desire to obey God. Obeying is better than sacrifice. That's what Samuel said. That's something that we forget so often. We try to earn our way into God's good grace. We try to earn our way into heaven. We try to perform it on works. And the fact of the matter is, it is impossible. You cannot be good enough. You cannot do enough. I cannot do enough. Collectively, we cannot do enough to save one molecule in all of this creation. Because we are sinners, condemned. We are sinners, unable to be saved outside of the grace of God. We are servants to obey. We cannot earn our way to heaven through obeying, but we can be in God's will by being obedient to His call. We don't have to do the things that we don't know about. We talked in Sunday school this morning. We asked some real serious questions, didn't we, Vance? We didn't answer them all either, did we? We didn't come to conclusions on them because there are things that are impossible to completely understand and to completely comprehend. And we don't have to act upon those things in perfect obedience and in complete understanding. But we can do the things that we know to do. I've said this before, that we don't have to worry about all those things that are out there, those gray areas, if we will just concentrate on the things that are just cut and dry. You know, men and women, you don't have to worry about, is it okay? Is it permissible to cheat on your spouse? No, it's not. It's wrong. There's no question about that. That's one thing you can bank on. You know, we can go through the Scriptures and find dozens of those things, time after time after time, things that we know and that we fail to practice in our society today that there is no question about. You know, some people in our society today will say that truth is a relative matter, that what's true for Dan may not be true for Tracy, and what's true for them may not be true for Miss Audrey. But I'm going to tell you what, there are some absolutes in this world, and if there's not, then I'm wasting my time and you're wasting yours for being here today. There are some absolutes, and the absolutes are that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that we have to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. There are some rights and wrongs in the Bible. I don't know them all. I don't pretend to understand it all. I don't pretend to have all the answers. But folks, we need to obey those things and not worry about those gray areas, but just look and hold on to those things that we are certain about. Certain about. The third thing, the third characteristic or trait, is that we are seed sowers to witness for Christ. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Then Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It is impossible, once again, to be a Christian and not share your faith with others. It is impossible to be a Christian and not share your faith with others. I'm just saying it. It's the truth. It's impossible. That doesn't mean you need to go out on the street and start shouting, I'm a Christian, come look at me. It means that you share your faith in your everyday life and where you work and where you shop and the places that you visit, the people you encounter, you allow Christ to shine in your life. If people don't know that you're a Christian, if you've been going to the same hairdresser, to the same barber for the last 25 years, and that person don't know you're a Christian, I question whether or not you truly have made a profession of Christ. I'm not judging you, but I'm just saying people are going to know that you're a Christian by the way you live and the way you act and the way you interact with people. It just cannot help but come out somewhere in your life. In the Scriptures that I read, in the Matthew Scripture, we are called to be a witness for Christ. Then in the Acts passage, we are equipped to be a witness for Christ. You see, Jesus doesn't just say go tell people about me, but He gives us the means by which we can, the Holy Spirit. And it's impossible, folks, if the Holy Spirit is part of your life, that you can live and exist and interact with people and not share that fact with others. If you have strong beliefs, regardless of those beliefs or what they're centered around, you'll share them. Hey, I can't tell you how many people I've heard share their opinion about the price of gas in the last 6 months. We could get started on that conversation right now, couldn't we? I can't tell you how many people I've had share their expressions and their opinions on the political situation in our nation today. It's a hot button issue. It's a topic that people have strong beliefs about. And if you're around them much, you're going to find out what they believe or how they feel about those things. If you're a big fan of Carolina, you're going to find out that person's a Carolina fan because they're going to be talking about their team and how good their team is, even though they are misguided and misled by that. You're going to hear those things. You can't help it. What you're passionate about, you're going to hear about. What you're passionate about. I can get talking to Dan here, and I guarantee you, I'll end up hearing something about some fishing tails. Yeah, that's right. Go back there and talk to Lynn, he's going to end up talking about hunting some. I guarantee it. It's what you're passionate about. It's going to come out, and you're going to end up sharing it with people. If you love Jesus, if you're Christ-centered, if you love Him and passionate about Jesus Christ, it's going to come out, folks. You are going to be a witness. Look at Philip in the Scripture, John, first chapter of John. Jesus is calling the first disciples. He calls Andrew first, I believe it's recorded in John, that he calls Andrew first, who is a brother, who's brother to Simon, who of course we know is Peter. Then Andrew, I believe, tells Philip, I can't remember, but Philip immediately tells Nathanael. He couldn't keep it. He had just been introduced to Jesus, and he goes straight away and starts sharing. You know, that's something. We don't have to have all the knowledge, all the information, or all the answers to share Jesus with people. All we have to do is say, like Philip did, come and see. We have found the one who is the Messiah. Share Jesus. We are called to be seed sowers, not necessarily transformers. The Holy Spirit is that, but seed sowers for Christ. The fourth trait is that we are stewards to manage. Stewards to manage. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, y'all may remember, some of you have been coming, when I preached on stewardship, on tithing, on giving. Stewardship is the main principle there in giving to God. It's that we don't own it. It's God's already. We are stewards. We simply manage it. We simply direct it. We simply invest it. And our goal, our duty, is to manage it and to be able to pass it on to others. From those two scriptures there, you see that we are to consider it as servants of God, stewards of the mysteries of God. Not just the physical things, but those mysterious things. Again, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, the mysteries. We don't know all the answers and all the things, but that thing called grace and love of brother and love of God, that thing called faith, those are all mysteries, folks. I can't explain them. I know they work. I can't explain the atmosphere and how gravity holds us on this planet. But I believe it because I'm standing here and I'm not flying off out into space. I believe that faith and grace work because I'm here and I've experienced it in my heart and in my life, and I've seen it in you folks. Continually I see it. I believe it. We are to manage those mysteries, to share them, pass them on. And we're also called to be good stewards of those material things which God has blessed us with. That's part of it, folks. I can't say the word stewardship without getting there. It happens. And God doesn't need our money. What He needs is our obedience, going back to one of those other things, one of these other traits. He needs our obedience. I remember many of you have seen the movies or read the books, probably Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's books that were made into the three different movies. But in one of the mythical lands, the land of Gondor, there was no king there for hundreds of years in that land. There was a ruler, and he was called the Steward of Gondor. And his position and his job was to take care of that country, to rule that country and administrate the things necessary in that country until the king returned, until the rightful heir returned. Folks, that's what we are. We are stewards of what God has blessed us with. It is not ours, but it is God's. We need to be good stewards of what God has given us. The fifth trait is that we are soldiers to fight. Now, in this world we live in today, a lot of people don't like that imagery of warfare associated with Christianity and the Christian faith. But it's part of it. It's part of the language that was used to describe it. Now, it's not saying that we need to raise up an army here and go out down the roads and break into people's houses and kill everybody that doesn't profess Christ. That's not what we're talking about, but it's the imagery, it's the symbolism that we are to be like soldiers, ready to fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul writes to his young apprentice, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." 2 Timothy 2:4, Paul writes again, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." See, I think the reason that language like that is used is to illustrate to us that the Christian faith and being a Christian is like being in a fight. We are constantly bombarded and assaulted by the world, by Satan, by the forces of evil, to deny who Christ is, to water down who Christ is, to make Him less than He is, and we need to be able and willing to stand up and say, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bow down to the pressures of the world." We need to be able to stand firm and fight. The old country song that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Well, we as Christians have to stand up for what we believe. There is a call for us to be willing to fight. And what does a soldier do? A soldier that enlists in the army, and our army in America today is a volunteer army. If someone enlists in that army, or the Navy, or the Marines, or whatever branch of the service you join, you are accepting that possibility that you could be called upon to lay your life down. Folks, as Christians, we are called to do that. First of all, we're called to do it in a spiritual sense. We are called to be willing to lay our lives down for Christ, to give up. We are enlisted to do that. And there are times when Christians are called to physically put themselves in the line of fire, to put themselves in jeopardy for their beliefs. That is what it means to be a soldier. We need to be willing to take up arms, folks. Not guns and knives and warplanes and battleships, but we need to be willing to take up God's Word, and to use it to defend the faith. Not slay people, but to love people, to love them into the kingdom. That takes me to the final trait. The characteristic that was talked about in the Scripture that I read this morning. We are sons and daughters to love. 1 John chapter 5, 1 and 2. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. The number one trait of Christians is that they love. There is no other faith under the sun that says the things about love that the Christian faith does. You know, be accepting of others and, you know, get along with others. A lot of them say, a lot of them espouse complete hatred towards anybody of that aren't of their same faith. But Christ says to love your enemies. He says to love one another. He says to love unconditionally. That's the mark, the earmark, the number one mark of the person who is in Christ is that they love. And sometimes that love is not easy. It's not just the kind of love that says, oh, we all love each other and let's all sit around and put our arms around each other and sing Kumbaya and go home happy. That's the easy thing to do. What we're talking about here, what Christ is talking about, is doing the hard thing in love. And we all know as parents that doing the thing, that loving is not always the easy thing, because there are times when we have to discipline. There are times when we have to do things to our children, for our children, that aren't that easy. You ask Matthew back there, I've busted his behind more than one time. And he still likes me most of the time. And he's done okay. Kelly, I never did spank her, but she needed it an awful lot. And But there, I punished her other ways. I'd make her go stay with her mama and stay right under her, and Renee would fix her with that. But there's all kinds of doing the loving is not always the easy thing to do. We have to be difficult. We have to be hard and firm in our love with wrong action that our children do, with the hurtful things that maybe our friends do, with things that happen in our midst at work or church. Sometimes we just have to say, you know, that's just not the right thing. And I'm not above doing that. I don't like doing that, but I will do that. If I see something that's wrong, that I believe wrong, I'm going to say so. Because that's part of what God has called me to do. And all of us as Christians, God has told us to love, not just in the easy situations of life, when everybody's doing what we want them to do and what we think they should do, and when they're smiling and happy, but we need to love them when they're grumpy and they're angry and they're hurtful and they're vengeful. We need to love unconditionally. Saints, to please God. Servants, to obey God. Seed sowers to witness of Christ, servants to manage what we've been blessed with, soldiers to fight and contend for what's right, and sons and daughters to love. Are those traits present in your life, in your home, where you're at every day? If someone sees you, do the people that you encounter, do the people that you work with know that you're Christians? Do the people that you deal with on a regular basis know that you... Would they be surprised if you walked up to them tomorrow, somebody that you've been involved with for a couple of years in some manner? Would they be surprised if you walked up tomorrow and said, you know, I'm a Christian? Would they be surprised? I ask you to ask yourself that. To evaluate your own self there. Are the traits of being a Christian part of your everyday life? I invite you this morning to make that commitment to Jesus Christ, the only one who can allow us to possess those traits. I invite you to invite Him closer to who you are and to your heart, and endeavor in your life to allow the world to see these traits and many, many others that exhibit the life and the mark of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that You do make a difference in our lives, that You transform and change us. Make us this morning, make us this day and in the weeks ahead to be more like You. Lord, I pray that for myself, for each of us, that if there's somebody that I encounter daily or weekly on a regular basis that don't know that I'm a Christian, Lord, may I do something, however radical it may be, to allow them to know of who is number one in my life today. I challenge myself, Lord, and I pray for You to challenge each of us to do that. Lord, we love You this morning. We give You the praise and glory for all that You have done.